The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to Hour 2. I'm still talking to Gordon Chang. You can follow him at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. Gordon G. Chang is the handle. Gordon, we were talking about the Olympics. You know, I know that the Olympics were held in Germany in 1936 in Berlin. And we look at Hitler as this big evil man. But in 1936, he wasn't nearly what we now know him to be. So I think people can be forgiven for having the Olympics in Berlin in 1936. But if they'd had them there in 1939 or 1940, that would rise to the level of what we are now dealing with saying that we're going to hold them in China. China is not Germany in 1936. It's Germany in 1940. There are death camps. There's all kinds of malfeasance. What is our excuse? What would be our excuse? And do you think Biden will take this on?
Yeah, there's no excuse. Because what China is doing right now is worse than what the Third Reich did prior to the mass exterminations of 1941. What Biden will do, I don't know. I hope there's bottom-up pressure to force him to do the right thing. But his instincts are not to do the right thing.
His instincts are not to do the right thing. Well, I've written biographies about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor involved in the plot to kill Hitler. And I've written about William Wilberforce, who led the battle against the slave trade in the British Empire. So there's a moral issue in both those stories with which I'm familiar. There's a moral issue that if we care about other human beings, if we really care about strangers who are suffering, as we ought to, at least I would think, then we have a moral responsibility. It's not a partisan issue. It's a moral responsibility to human beings who are suffering. We look the other way, mainly with the Jews. And it seems today that we're looking the other way with regard to the Uyghurs. You said something about institutionalized rape. I wasn't clear. What did you mean by that?
Well, the authorities are just organizing the rape of Uyghur women in their own homes and prison cells. And this has the and this is not just bad actors. This is institutionalized. So it's occurring with frequency. It's occurring with the knowledge of the regime. And again, we have institutionalized slavery as well. So this is the regime actually sanctioning these types of activities, giving their approval to them. So this is horrific. We go down the list. These are crimes against humanity.
What are the tell my audience about the books you've written. Which one speaks most directly to what we're talking about today?
I wrote a book in 2001 called The Coming Collapse of China, in which I predicted that the Communist Party would fall in a decade. So I'm wrong about that. I wrote a book last year called The Great U.S.-China Tech War, which details where we are with regard to China in terms of the development of the technologies of tomorrow. And those are the two books that I've written that are relevant to this discussion.
What do you have to say to corporations? I'm just mystified that we would allow corporations, whether it's the NBA or Apple or Nike, to make billions of dollars in a country. I mean, it would be like dealing, with the South, with slave labor creating cotton. You'd say, well, you have a moral responsibility not to reward slave labor. Are you convinced that that is happening, and what companies are looking the other way?
Well, we know that Nike was looking at the other way. Certainly Apple just a week ago was tagged for buying components from suppliers that were engaged in forced labor, slave labor. And Apple knows about this because it audits its suppliers, and it obviously was looking the other way. So Apple's a culprit. Nike is a culprit. They were having shoes made in Qingdao in the northeastern part of China. Now, it was through a subcontractor, a South Korean group, but it was a subcontractor that Nike had decades-long relationship with. So Nike knew what was going on. And so when they lecture us about all sorts of things, a lot about racism, we need to say to them, well, you knowingly used slave labor of slaves from a racial minority. So don't talk to us about your views on morality because of what you have been doing.
But I don't really understand. How is it that U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen aren't speaking up about this? It doesn't really get bigger than this, that we're rewarding people for having slave labor in their countries. Companies are rewarding that. Why wouldn't we put sanctions on Nike or on Apple? I don't really understand why we wouldn't do that.
We're not enforcing our own laws, Eric. The laws of the U.S., like the laws of many other countries, prohibit the importation of products made with forced labor. And China is more than just forced labor. This is slave labor. But we have the tools to deal with this, except we have not had enforcement. And it's not just the feckless Biden administration. This is true of its predecessors as well. We're just allowing these products into our country. We know what's going on. We choose not to do anything about it as a society.
Well, I hope that everyone who has a choice would never dream of buying another Nike product or wearing a Nike product. I hope that there are people listening to this. I also think that our senators and our congressmen need to make an issue of this. I'm astonished that they're not making an issue of this. Or has somebody spoken up about this of whom I'm unaware?
Well, there have been a few brave souls who have spoken up about this. But really, this is bottom-up pressure, Eric. We have to get the media to talk about these things, get Americans to actually discuss these during elections. So it's education, it's grassroots organizing, it's political campaigns. It's got to be bottom-up pressure because the President of the United States actually has the tools to stop what we have been talking about. So it's really a lack of political will in the White House.
I mean, when I see the Nike symbol now, I think to myself, it's the equivalent of a black lawn jockey. I'm just astonished that people knowing that Nike is profiting from slave labor of human beings, that symbol would not be anathema to anyone who believes in freedom or has any values. I really can't think of anybody who's pro-slavery. I don't understand, really.
Yeah. And while we're talking about it, we should talk about the athletes who have endorsed Nike. Because a guy, I think his name is LeBron James, who should have a discussion about this. Because he's endorsed Nike. He says supportive things of China's regime. This is just wrong.
Well, LeBron James, wittingly or unwittingly, is pro-slavery. I mean, I think you have to call a spade a spade. Pro-slavery. If you're not willing to speak up against this, I mean, look, we had all kinds of stuff with sweatshops, going back in the 90s, Kathy Lee Gifford was in a scandal. People should care about these kinds of things. And the fact that you have somebody as incredibly prominent and wealthy as LeBron James, unwilling to raise this issue, you just have to call it what it is. It's a pro slavery position. At least I can't see it any other way.
I agree with you.
We've just got about a minute left, folks. I'm talking to Gordon Chang. You can follow him at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. Is there a website, Gordon?
Yeah, it's www.gordonchang.com. I archive my articles for free. And I hope Gordon, that people
GordonChang.com.
GordonChang.com.
Gordon, what's the last time you were in China? Have you been there in the recent decades?
In mainland China itself, last time we were there was November 2013. We've decided it's too dangerous to go back. We then started to go to Hong Kong and Macau as a substitute, but those also have become too dangerous. Last time we were there was 2019.
Wow. Do you think that Hong Kong stands a chance?
It stands a chance. There's an insurgency in Hong Kong. China's winning right now, but we know that insurgencies just melt away in the face of superior force, and they usually come back. I believe the people of Hong Kong will fight back eventually.
Well, we've got to have you back to talk about that. Gordon Chang, thank you for your time and for everything you do.
Well, thank you so much, Eric.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Folks, from the frying pan into the fire that is our friend, John the Situation Zmirak. John, I like talking to you about anything. What would you like to talk about today? What articles have you written about at stream.org?
Well, I've got one to match my background from Hieronymus Bosch. Do you see the pig in the nun's habit molesting the sinner in hell?
Who can fail to see the pig in the nun's habit if you're watching this on video? Yeah.
It's a Hieronymus Bosch's famous painting of hell. The article is from last week at stream.org, and it's called "My Pronouns Are His Majesty, Lord Vader, and Throat Wobbler Mangrove." Now, you know, one current woke practice is to pay due respect at the beginning of any personal introduction. Pay due respect to transgender ideology by saying which pronoun should be used for you. Oh, my pronouns are he, him, and his, or she, she, or zh, or whatever nonsense they've made up to pretend that the human species, that we're not mammals, that we're not even prokaryotes.
Prokaryotes?
Prokaryotes, the little unit, microorganisms that don't have any sex.
I'm astonished that the word prokaryotes was used on this program in the first 7 years of airing the program. I thought it would take at least a decade. But you managed to get us in 3 years ahead of time. John,
it's
prokaryotes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's okay. So I've always said when a rooster lays an egg, I can take the transgender thing more seriously than I do. But so far, roosters aren't laying eggs. What do you think? I mean, I have to ask you just your opinion here. What do you think happened that the whole world went crazy with regard to the transgender thing? Because to me, it seems genuinely crazy. Well, I don't understand it. I don't think anyone understands it, but they pretend to understand it. What is your take on where we are with the lunacy that has just been unleashed in a couple of years on America, on the West?
To the point that Bruce Jenner, going by the name Caitlyn, is now a major candidate for governor in California and has Bruce Pascal, Trump's old campaign manager, managing his campaign. And there's a grotesque campaign video with Bruce Jenner in his hair extensions, his big fake boobs, talking about all the things he's going to do for the state of California in this deep Darth Vader kind of voice. And it's so ludicrous to see this fake woman speaking with the real male voice that he still has, and people taking this seriously, Republicans taking this seriously. Oh, but, you know, if we could take the state of California with a pro-choice tranny and drag, oh, that'll be great for the Republican Party. No, it
won't. That's
be.
My wife who keeps calling. Just tell her I'm not here because I don't want her to know that I'm doing this show. What do you think it is? Sean Hannity had Bruce Jenner on the program.
Yep.
Not long ago, about a week or two ago.
Cementing Sean Hannity's reputation for being brilliant and principled. I mean, that was...
Listen, I like Sean Hannity. I'm baffled, honestly. I don't understand.
He is... I remember Sean Hannity mocking a Catholic priest on TV for the church's teaching on birth control. I remember Sean Hannity in 2008, back in 2008, mocking Ron Paul and lining up with the neocons. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity gets some things right, but here he's being a complete opportunist. He's being an opportunist, and you see opportunists lining up behind Caitlyn Jenner, quote Caitlyn Jenner, and anybody who is supporting Jenner at this point or boosting him, we should scratch their name off our list, just the way we would have if they had talked about the Capitol Hill riots on January 6th as being like the Reichstag fire. This is the most fundamental attack. In my piece at the Stream, I argue that in a strange way, transgenderism seems to me more ominous than abortion. It's more ominous than communism or Nazism were in a very strange way. And I'm talking about,
Now, John, you've just raised the bar.
Yes, I've raised the bar.
Unbelievably high, and then you doubled it by bringing in Nazism.
That's right.
Please, let's go back.
That's right. Well, in the article I say, I really do think that transgenderism is worse than abortion, worse than communism, and worse, yes, even than Nazism. Because here's why. As wicked, foul, and callous as abortion is, it's nothing new. People have been killing the innocent since Cain murdered Abel. It seems to be in our fallen DNA. Likewise, we've always coveted our neighbor's goods. We've always wanted to steal from people who have more than us. And communism is just a political pyramid scheme that figured out how to monetize that and turn it into a system maintaining power. And the Nazi attempt to murder God's own people in order to make mankind into gods, that was kind of implicit when Adam and Eve bit the apple and blew up paradise so that they could become, in Satan's words, as gods. These are profound evils, but they are, in a sense, familiar evils. We understand them because we look back. We look at slavery for thousands of years. We look at genocides that happened all around the world over the course of the centuries. What we're looking at right now is utterly bizarre. And it makes me think that we're living through That Hideous Strength, the C.S. Lewis novel, about Satan trying to take over the entire planet. The human race has two sexes, male and female. That's it. To say it has 47, to say that anyone can make up a gender and decide that that's their gender and you have to respect it and the police will enforce your respect for it, that is a level of totalitarian insanity that I find it hard to fathom. And when I say the police will enforce it, there's a guy named Rob Hoagland up in Canada. He was using the correct, biologically accurate pronouns for his daughter, whose counselors at the school had gotten hold of her. Ooh, she has problems. Maybe she's transgender. Convinced her she's transgender. Now, without his consent, she's being given hormones to look more like a man. She's considering having her breasts cut off.
Well, how old is she?
She's like 16, I think, or 15. And they're giving her hormones that might very well render her sterile. That could cause cancer. She's preparing for surgery that will be irreversible to have her perfectly healthy breasts removed and create some sort of surgical imitation penis. The father doesn't want to go along with this, won't refer to his daughter as he and him. He went to prison. A judge...
In Canada. Well, we know Canada is insane, but the point is they're only slightly more insane than we are here.
Canada's us in 5 years.
You know, John, I don't know if you can help us here, but I am still, you know, usually I puzzle over something. It's like a Rubik's Cube. You play with it for a while to try to see where are we ending up? What is happening? What is going on? I can't really understand the transgender issue unless it is a satanic desire to attack the root of we being made in the image of God. We're made in God's image, male and female created he them. It is so clear from the foundation of Scripture, from Genesis, from earliest chapters of Genesis, that we are made uniquely in God's image, male and female. There's something sacred. There's something that speaks of God in our maleness and our femaleness. And this seems to be a direct attack on that. I can't really make any other sense of it.
That's right. I wrote in the article, this evil is so extreme, so bizarre, so seemingly unmotivated that it doesn't even seem to emerge from fallen man. Since it's certainly not from God, that leaves just one other sponsor, the enemy, who hates both creation and the creator, wants to mutilate it, as surgeons are even now mutilating confused adolescent girls. Satan would cut off creation's breasts, poison her womb, and make her sprout beastly hair on her weak girlish chin. He'd force us to lie every time we spoke to people, calling male female, as he would have us call evil good. That's what we're dealing with.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Who are we to judge, John?
But you know, maybe we could get the Republican governor's seat in California for 4 years. Talk about selling your birthright for a mess of pottage. California? It's like the line in Man for All Seasons. You sell your soul for whales? Selling your soul to get a pro-choice liberal Republican? We don't want rhinos in office. They harm us. How much good does it do us to have Liz Cheney in Congress? Are you guys real excited about Mitch McConnell being there? Rhinos are the enemy of everything good. They want to take away our one political voice, the voice for unborn children, for secure borders, for gun rights, for individual freedom. So as far as I'm concerned, the real enemies are the enemies within the Republican Party.
John, you've made some really brilliant observations today. We're going to keep you on for the rest of the hour as punishment for making those brilliant observations. They really are. They're vitally important. I'm sure no one is talking about these things anywhere else. So, folks, keep it right here. We'll be back. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their healthcare, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true healthcare, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, you've written a lot of books. If people don't rush to buy your books, I think they're crazy. You know what else is crazy? Saying there's more than one gender. You made a brilliant observation, so I want to underscore it here before we leap ahead. You said that all the other evils, whether abortion or slavery, all these things, they're familiar. They seem to rise from the sinful, fallen nature of man, apart from our redemption in Christ. You said that, and again, this is pure speculation on your part and on my part as I entertain this, but that there's something about transgender, it's utterly new, and it seems to be uniquely satanic, uniquely evil, in that it seems possibly, and again, we're saying possibly because we're completely spitballing, as they say, But it is something new. You can't go back in time and find this. Or can you, to some extent, when you think of the priests of Cybele however it's pronounced, there's been this kind of dark, weird stuff even into antiquity, but maybe not at the level where we are.
Well, the priests of Sibele were priests who would get it worked up into a frenzy and castrate themselves publicly during part of a religious ceremony, dress as women, and try to recruit other people to do the same. So, yes, that was a glimmer of the same evil. You never had the Roman Empire trying to enforce that on everyone. The Roman Empire wanted us to pretend that Caesar was God, and Christians died rather than say that. Will Christians fight now rather than say something maybe even worse, which is that the human race isn't what God made it to be? It's whatever we can make it to be using surgery and hormones and pharmaceuticals and enriching pharmaceutical companies and plastic surgeons, who, of course, are the big financial sponsors, along with a few deranged billionaires, of the transgender movement. But behind the transgender movement, there are five white male billionaires who are men who think they're women.
And hold on. There are five billionaires? Five?
That's
please.
Jennifer Bielek wrote about this at First Things magazine. The only one whose name I remember is Pritzker, the brother, now sister, of the governor of Illinois. Remember the governor of Illinois, who looks like a knockwurst stuffed into a suit? His brother is now his sister and has about a billion of the family money and pours that money into transgenderism. This is why this went from nowhere to a major political cause, because a few rich white men who decided after looking at lots of porn on the internet, decided they were lesbians. They were straight men. They decided they were lesbians, which is what Bruce Jenner decided. And they decided, therefore, gender doesn't exist. There are 47 of them. And I want society to align itself along with my delusion. And I have the money to push for it. The guys who made The Matrix were brothers. Now they claim to be sisters. It is such a grotesque and tragic thing to watch these people try to pass as the opposite sex, to see hulking men like Bruce Jenner, who talk like Darth Vader, pretending that they are women. It is an assault, a profound assault on the most fundamental intuitions of the human race and what the verdict of science. There is no scientific basis for saying that your sex is purely psychological. Whenever I love National Geographic zoo programs, like the Down Under Zoo and their veterinary shows, and you see the breeding program, and they're getting the male penguins and they're mixing them with the female penguins. They're not interviewing them to see which gender they identify as. In the gorilla cage and the chimpanzee cage, you don't see them saying, well, I think that one seems a little bit, no, that one might be transgender. Maybe we should put it in with the other. No, of course not. Our animal nature, which is part of our God-given creation, is very clear, except in a few cases of tragic genetic deformity where somebody has too many hormones of both sex. It's an infinitesimal, tragic biological condition. Has nothing to do with taking confused teenagers and convincing them to have irreversible surgery. These kids can't get tattoos. They legally can't get tattoos, but they can get gender reassignment, hormones, and surgery.
Let me ask you this. To me, the only thing that I can relate it to right now in my mind, I think of Nazi science. In other words, when I wrote my Bonhoeffer book, I bumped into how they were trying to create, let's call it what is pseudoscience, but they pretended right. It was science. If you divorce anything you're doing from reality, you enter the world of fantasy, and you can no longer ground what you're doing in reality, of course. So you have to be more and more heavy-handed in enforcing it, because the truth will out, to quote Shakespeare. And yeah. So you have to insist that people don't say what is obvious, because it continually undermines what you're trying to create. The Nazis, they went a long way toward doing this. I mean, right. Race ideology and that kind of stuff, they went quite a long way.
And so did the Soviets. The Nazis spread the pseudoscientific idea that that the human species was actually multiple species in competition with each other, and the Jews were some sort of biological parasite that co-evolved alongside us. Total nonsense, but poisonous, attractive nonsense for a certain kind of person. The Soviets decided that Marxism taught you could change wheat. if you kept putting wheat in the freezer, it would change into winter-friendly wheat. And this scientist, Lysenko, the Soviet biologist, and this was following from Marxism. Marxism said everything evolves. Everything moves with the proletariat. So if the proletariat wants its wheat to grow in the winter, even though biologically it can't, we can force it
okay.
to do it.
We're millions talking about of alchemy. People stop. We're talking about alchemy, phrenology. We'll be right back with John Zmirak.
This is for all the lonely people. Thinking that life...
Folks, we're talking about alchemy, phrenology, Nazi pseudoscience, and who can forget transgenderism. By the way, let me remind you, I'm pro-reality. I'm pro-science. Nutramedics is a new sponsor on the program. They really are fantastic. Go to Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 20% off. You'll see. John, we're talking about pseudoscience. Yeah. We're talking about alchemy. We're talking about inventing a new reality, which, of course, cannot be sustained because there are certain things that can't be changed, right? The bedrock, the periodic table, these are basic things, 1 + 1 = 2. But transgender ideology is really trying, I guess I also think of the island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah.
It's an ill-advised plan to use surgery to try to enforce an ideology that, you know, there are no really clear species. There are no really clear genders. It's all malleable. We can do anything we like. We can change certain kinds of wheat into other kinds of things. You said that about the Soviets, but the reality always kind of comes back and bites you.
That's right. And I reminded in the 1940s when they thought they could cure mental illness by giving people lobotomies. And what's going on with transgender surgery and hormones now? I'm 100% convinced future generations will look back at us the way we look back at the people in the 40s who would cut apart the brains of people with depression or schizophrenia or manic depression in state mental institutions. There's another miscarriage of justice and atrocity I've written about at the stream. This article is very sort of soft peddling it. The title is Left Us Want Us Dead or in Prison or Locked in Our Homes to Starve. I'm talking about this woman, Shannon McGinley, a very nice wife and mother who is head of a small Christian organization called Cornerstone in New Hampshire. And I used to run into her at meetings of this pro-life, pro-family group. She also helped out on the board of her kids' private school. The Derryfield School, which is, I believe, somewhere in New Hampshire. Sarah Silverman has come after Shannon McGinley. On her podcast, she accused Shannon McGinley of being the executive director of a gay conversion center in New Hampshire. And she described it as like where they do Cuban-style electroshock and brainwashing to try to force kids not to be gay anymore. And she said this on her podcast to her million or so followers, and the phone calls and letters started coming into Derryfield School demanding that Mrs. McGinley be removed from the board. The problem with that is it's all a lie. There is no gay conversion center in New Hampshire. There never has been one. McGinley is not associated with anything remotely like that. She did oppose the so-called conversion ban bill in New Hampshire that would have made it illegal for a Christian therapist to talk to a patient. Let's say a gay patient comes in and would like to be chased because he's been converted to Christ. He's read the Bible. He doesn't want to act on gay impulses anymore. It would make it illegal in New Hampshire for a willing patient to talk to a psychologist about trying not to act on homosexual feelings. That would be made illegal by this bill. Shannon McGinley opposed it. Sarah Silverman goes on her podcast and lies, says that McGinley's running a torture center that targets gay kids, and now the school is going to force Shannon McGinley off the board. She's fighting it, but it looks like they're going to do it. So it's a lie. It's 100% a lie. It's like the Russia collusion lie. It doesn't matter that it's not true. It's like the lies about Brett Kavanaugh. Doesn't matter that they're not true. we are going to step down and destroy anyone who tries to express conservative or Christian principles anywhere in public life. Do you know Prager Universe, PragerU, the wonderful website?
I know it very well. People should go there often.
Well, they might not be able to because the company that provides them their server is going to take it away because they don't like their politics. And PragerU, which is totally mainstream conservative, founded by Dennis Prager, a conservative Jewish guy. It's patriotic. It's not extremist. Nothing racist about it. They're going to try to close that down. So all the way from big conservative media operations to housewives in New Hampshire, nobody is allowed to dissent from the increasingly totalitarian line that the left is pushing, or you will be destroyed. And you might be destroyed by rioters outside your house. Remember, they were doing that to Republican legislators. They were besieging their homes. A speechwriter, Stephen Miller, at the White House, his home was attacked. They were going to attack Tucker Carlson's home. These people are acting like the brown shirts in Germany, like the Red Guards in Mao's China. And what I take away from it is, most fundamentally, we got to protect our Second Amendment rights, because we're probably going to end up having to defend ourselves and our families from mobs attacking our homes because they won't send the police. They didn't in Portland. They didn't in Seattle. They didn't in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We're going to need a nation full of Kyle Rittenhouses stepping up to defend themselves, their neighbors, their neighborhoods. And we have to keep our gun rights at all costs because, Eric, here's a sobering statistic. Between 1910 and 1990, 169 million civilians were intentionally killed by their governments. That's not including casualties of war. These are intentional murders. 169 million. The book, if you want it, the documents, is called Death by Government, and it's available. It's free on the internet, Death by Government by a scholar, R.J. Rummel. And you know what all those in this 169 million people all around the world, what they had in common? They had been previously disarmed by their governments. You can't do a genocide if people are going to fight back. And we have to protect our Second Amendment rights because very little else stands between us and the thugs of Black Lives Matter and the thugs of Antifa who are going to say, he supports traditional literature. He wants us kids reading Shakespeare in college. That's racist. Racist equals Nazi. What do we do to Nazis? We punch them. We beat them up. We put them in jail. That is the level of nuance of moral reasoning that's being taught at places like Yale today and being enforced in government agencies today.
It's hard to believe we're talking about this. This sounds like a fever dream, like something we're making up. If I didn't have a firm faith in the God of the Bible and in what everything the Bible says, I would despair. Folks, if you don't know the God of the Bible personally, let me suggest now would be a great time. We don't seem to have much else to lean on. We'll be back. Final segment with John Zmierak. Don't go away.
The preacher talked to me and he smiled.
John Zmierak, we are just in our last segment here. We're talking about things I think that if you tuned into this program 5 years ago, you'd think this was a parody. We can't really be talking about these things. Bruce Jenner became a woman and decided to run for governor of California, and he was on Sean Hannity's program, and Sean was speaking to him, as though this were a thing. Maybe he could be the first transgender governor. It seems like we have to be living in some part of the end times. I don't know how else to make sense of what we're experiencing.
I joke that we're living through an end times apocalyptic novel that was typed single space in a double wide trailer, private, personally self-published, and sold only at gun shows sometime in the 90s. I think we're going to find that gun show apocalyptic novel that was published in the 90s that predicted everything we're going through. Somehow our timeline has been shifted to that. Or we're living through That Hideous Strength by C.S. Lewis. There's a great new book explicating C.S. Lewis's space trilogy that I'd like to plug here. It's called Deeper Heaven. and reading it. It's a wonderful book that explains all the astrological and planetary and mythological references in C.S. Lewis's wonderful space trilogy. But I remember I didn't like that Hideous Strength when I read it back in the early 90s. It seemed like so implausible and crazy and crackpot.
Yeah.
And oh, darn it, it's a documentary, and apparently C.S. Lewis was a time traveler, and he was just writing about 2019 and 2020.
Well, who wrote Deeper Heaven? Because that sounds like a book I should get.
I think you might want to get it. Let me just look on my Kindle, and I'll be able to tell you.
That's all right. I mean, we can, as long as we...
Deeper Heaven, go look it up on Amazon. It's a great book. It's a follow-up to the book Planet Narnia by Michael Ward, which is the best book on the Narnia.
Wait a minute,
did
Michael Ward write Deeper Heaven?
No, this is a sequel. It takes Michael Ward's theories about Chronicles of Narnia
right.
and applies them to the space trilogy.
It sounded like that. Can you imagine C.S. Lewis dies in 1963 and almost 60 years later you have people explicating his literature? I just find it amazing that he himself he just kind of put it in there and left it for other people to discover. He never really explained it himself. That's, to me, amazing.
So many riches. I mean, C.S. Lewis, because his work is so approachable, it seems deceptively simple. But in fact, it's enormously rich. He was a medieval and Renaissance scholar.
Correct.
And so there are all these levels and layers of meaning in Lewis's work. It repays rereading, but it also repays reading scholarly books about it, like Planet Narnia and Deeper Heaven, which I want to highly recommend to people. One last thing. I've got another piece of the stream. The left's witch hunting frenzy should drive each of us to the gun range. And in it, I talk about how the woke movement is a cancerous variant of Christianity. It takes the sense of certainty that we get with genuine faith. It pretends to go after justice, but it unhinges these things from traditional morality, from Western logic, from any kind of obedience to the Bible. The woke progressive Christians, they treat the words of Jesus in the New Testament the way Jesus treated the Old Testament, as if they were incarnate sons of God come to offer us new covenants. And because they're not bound by the old Christian morality or the old Western reason, they wave off logic, mathematics, philosophy as white man's logic, white man's philosophy, dead white male's literature, the same way the Nazis waved off Einstein as Jewish science. It's the same impulse. It's tribalist, angry, self-righteous, and it's stupid. It's willful stupidity, willful ignorance. In the woke movement, that's what we're seeing with all the self-righteousness of the North Vietnamese when they marched into Saigon.
I just want to tell my audience, you've got a standing homework assignment. Go to stream.org, find John Zmirak's articles, print them out, leave them around for others to read. John, we'll be back again with you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.